With us on the Congressional Corner today is Jim McGovern, Massachusetts' second beautiful, and I mean beautiful, district. He's been in office since 1997, and I think anybody who pays any attention to the news at all knows that Jim McGovern is one of the great headline makers of our time as chair of the Rules Committee. Did you ever think you're going to find yourself in developing your career, your political career, did you ever think that you would be at this apex of decision-making that you are now?
Not really, but I'm glad I'm in this position, and I feel good about some of the stuff that we're moving forward. It's going to help a lot of people.
Was it hard getting that $1.9 trillion bill through the Rules Committee and into the Congress with the appropriate rules?
Yeah, the Republicans, kind of slowed down the process. I mean, I think our Rules Committee meeting was, almost 12 hours long. But nonetheless, it was worth every painful minute of listening to some of my Republican friends come up with these fake arguments as to why we shouldn't do anything. I mean, look, at the end of the day, this bill is going to, help us crush the virus and generate an inclusive recovery for this country. I mean, shots in the arm, money in pockets, children in schools, people in jobs, direct assistance to cities and towns. I mean, this is a big deal. This is probably the most progressive piece of legislation that I think Congress has passed in decades. So this is a big deal. It is going to help people, and is especially going to help some of the most vulnerable people in our country who were neglected during the last 4 years of the Trump administration.
I couldn't agree more with you. Jim McGovern, I guess everybody wants to know a little bit about inside baseball politics. How raucous does it get in those Rules Committee meetings when somebody makes you read every word of a bill or something of that kind?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's annoying. It's annoying. But nonetheless, look, I mean, people take advantage of every procedural, maneuver that exists. And I get it. I mean, they can do it. But on the other hand, we're talking about a bill that is going to provide relief to the American people who have suffered greatly as a result of this pandemic. I mean, people who have lost their jobs, who are struggling on unemployment, people who are hungry in this country, businesses that are struggling to stay open, restaurants, our cities and towns that are now cash strapped, that are contemplating whether or not to lay off first responders or whether or not they can open up schools safely. So, I mean, to delay a package that provides help to people who are in need, to me defies, I can't even understand this, right? Here's the irony of it all. The Republicans who are opposed to this, they'll be the first ones at the announcements of money to cities and towns in their districts. They'll be taking bows for money that they, quite frankly, try to derail. But the bottom line is this is a bipartisan bill all across the country because Republican mayors and Republican governors want it. But it's not bipartisan here in Washington, D.C., and that's, quite frankly, very sad.
And Jim McGovern, far be it from me to say I understand something. You say you can't understand it. I understand it. They got Trump out there who says, I'll run a primary anybody who defies me. He clearly doesn't want to get any ammunition for Biden. He thinks he's going to run against Biden again. I think it's absurd, but I think he thinks that. You got all these Republican senators deserting the ship as fast as they possibly can. And so they just haven't got any guts. They don't want to do what's right.
Right. But here's the deal. Trump's now in exile at his resort in Mar-a-Lago. Okay. And these people have to go home to their districts where their constituents, are struggling. And so to me, the choice, is very clear. I mean, do you continue to try to prop up a man who lost the presidency, lost the House, lost the Senate, or do you go home and do you help your people? I mean, my old boss Joe Moakley used to say, good policy is good politics, and this is good policy. Again, if we do not pass something like this, our economy is in deep trouble, and our ability to get over this pandemic would be in doubt. So we're moving forward. Help is on the way. I'm proud of this bill. And I really feel excited to be here to be able to support and help move through Congress a bill that is going to have such a profound impact on this country.
So, okay, so the president signs it, done. Huge, huge achievement. What happens next?
So, I mean, we have to come back. We have to do an infrastructure bill. You know, we need to get our appropriations bills done for the next year. You know, we need to, address, we voted the other day on a bill, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, to try to make sure that we encourage sensible and smart, police reform all across the country. We need to pass H.R. 1 to restore some integrity to our election system, and we need to strengthen the Voting Rights Act. We need to deal with the issue of the climate crisis. So there's no shortage of issues that we need to tackle in the months and in the years ahead. But all those things would be in doubt if we didn't pass the American Rescue Plan, because that is essential for us not just to survive this pandemic, but to get our economy to thrive again.
Now, you did not mention $15 an hour minimum wage.
Oh,
what about that?
We had the $15 minimum wage in the House passed version of the American Rescue Plan. Unfortunately, it got derailed in the Senate over some parliamentary rules that said it didn't qualify to be part of a reconciliation bill. But look, that's a fight that is important for us to continue, and we will continue it, and we won't stop until we get it. So I am very much committed to that.
What about the GOP argument that the package doesn't have much actual COVID relief and is instead made up of spending on pet projects and non-COVID needs?
Yes. Well, first of all, I mean, everything is COVID-related right now, okay? I mean, the bottom line is there's lots of money in here, again, for shots in the arm, for the production of more vaccine, for helping states be able to administer a plan to get the vaccines out to people. So there's that. But to somehow suggest that, that helping a small business or a restaurant that is about to close permanently because of this pandemic is somehow not related to the COVID crisis is ridiculous. To not make a connection between people who have lost their jobs, who are now struggling on unemployment, who need a little bit of extra to get by, to say that has nothing to do with COVID relief, I mean, is ridiculous. Even reopening our schools. I mean, we have to reopen our schools, but we have to do it safely. We have to retrofit some of our schools to make sure that they are equipped to safely, allow us to bring back our students and teachers. That's COVID related. So, to try to narrow down what is COVID related, kind of misses the point. And I think it shows that they're out of touch with reality.
You guys have passed, the House has passed H.R. 1, the For the People Act on voting rights. First of all, what does it do? And number two, are they really going to get away with changing the state laws, like in Georgia, so that people will be deprived of their voting rights?
Yes. So think about that for a minute. I mean, the Republicans are upset that they lost the last election. And they feel the only way to win the next election is not by the power of their ideas, but by suppressing the vote, by making it more difficult for people to vote. I mean, that is unconscionable. I mean, H.R. 1 would expand automatic voter registration and same-day registration. It would strengthen a vote by mail. It would combat voter intimidation and voter suppression. It protects elections from foreign interference. We know the Russians tried to interfere in the 2016 election. It would fix partisan gerrymandering by establishing independent commissions to decide what congressional districts look like. So it's not politicians picking their voters, it's voters picking their politicians. It would force the disclosure of dark money. It strengthens ethics rules. It has a public financing component to it to reward candidates that get contributions from small donors. So it's, and it strengthens the Voting Rights Act. It is incredibly important to our democracy. And again, it's a way to combat what we're seeing happen at the state level, which is this move toward voter suppression in these red states. Every vote ought to count. Everybody's important. And in the last election, we had a record turnout. right? A record turnout, not just of Democrats, but of independents, a record turnout of Republicans. That's a good thing when everybody turns out to vote. We should want that in every election, whether it's a national election or whether it's a local election. We should want maximum participation, and we should remove obstacles that frustrate maximum participation.
Any chance in the Senate to get to the Senate?
There might be. I think there might be. I mean, I heard Joe Manchin the other day, you know, talk about possibly looking at adjusting the filibuster in a way that might make an exception for voting rights. Who knows what he means by all that? But there might be a chance for some progress on this, and I hope there is, because I think this is really, really important.
It's always wonderful to talk to you, Jim McGovern. When we started, it was always great to talk to you because you speak out in the most magnificent way. But in addition, you're now one of the top people in the United States government with a chance to make a difference. And we thank you so much for spending this time with us. And when we come back, we got a lot more. Thanks a lot.